كل شيء قدير. الصلاة والسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. الحمد لله. By the grace of Allah, nowadays, this week, a lot of people and a lot of brothers and sisters questioning, because this is the time for the celebration of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first day. And some they are asking, should we celebrate or we should not celebrate? And if we're going to celebrate, what kind of format? And a lot of people go from one point to another or one extreme to another, and everybody got his own view. We need to find out, first of all, our obligation to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who is Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. And after that, we can find out at the end, as a conclusion, if we should or we shouldn't. And at the same time, if we're going to do it, in what format, how it can be, and is it a form of holiness, adding attribute of holiness to Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, or it is not? We need to find out. To start with, there is a generic definitions we need to know. First of all, what is the meaning of the word messenger? The word messenger means a person, a human being selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver a message. And he give him a certain things. Number one, he give him approach. Number two, he gave him a book. Number three, he gave him a set of miracles, unique set of miracles. And very quickly, when we look at Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, we will see that his approach was justice. Why? Because he was sent to Bani Israel. And Bani Israel, in that time in Egypt, we had two categories. We have one claimed, went so far in superiority to claim holiness, Pharaoh and his cabinet. And we have another one went in the degradation to the level lower than human being. They have no right to live, which are the Jews in that time. So you have very different, very fast different in between the two. So the essence of the message, the approach, it was what? Equality. That means what? Listen, that Pharaoh is not better than you, and you are not better than Pharaoh. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's the approach. And the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sended with him, it was the Ten Commandments. Shall not. These are the major milestones. And the miracle. To start with, the word miracle, it means what? Miracle, it means event. Event. Break a natural law. It did break the natural law to provide the backup and support to a messenger. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam by that type of miracles, they were, and the miracle all the time, it comes in what the people very good and advanced in. In that time, the people, they were good in magic. So all the miracles that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam did, it has the magician nature. Turning a stick to snake, changing from one kingdom to another. Turning things. I want to just be very brief in this area and move on. The miracle to provide the backup and support. And the only one who will know that it is not phony, they are the very advanced people among the community. When we look at the time of the Messiah, peace be upon him, he said, okay, justice, no one can say anything about it. But how about love in implementation of the justice? So, and that's what we call what? Circumstantial. That means what? Let us tolerate and see the circumstances before we apply the law. That's what the message of the Messiah is all about. And his book, he was the New Testament, not the whole entire New Testament, but the Injil. And his miracle, it was from the same nature. At that time, people, they were very, very advanced in medicine. And all his miracle, it was in a form of what? Healing, resurrecting people, raising from death, and so on and so forth, to provide the evidence. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his approach was very, very, very compound and summing everything. His approach was peace. And peace will never happen without having the two elements, justice and love in implementing the justice, the peace. And his miracle and book is the Quran. And the Quran. That is a messenger. But prophet, who is the prophet? A prophet also a man being selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do what? To do a reinforcement and revival to a message. This message, after the messenger passed away, people either distorted, neglected, forgot, changed, abused the message. And they start to play around with it. And here it comes, the Nabi. A Nabi, they will come and do reinforcement. Like the relationship between whom? The relationship between Sayyidina al-Masih, a messenger, and John, or Yahya, is a Nabi. Yahya was doing a reinforcement to the message, even before and after. We need to know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the man who was born and raised in Mecca. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala select him to be the last prophet and messenger, both. Last messenger and last prophet. Now we know what is the messenger and what is the prophet. He's going to be the last of both. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started revealing the Quran in him in Mecca. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe him and describe his message in the Quran. To know the value before we get started on this area, we need to find how the people reacted in different time to their messengers. When we come to the Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, among the Jewish community, they said what? Musa did miracles, no question about it. Musa spoke to God, no question about it. And probably he is one of the best teachers to the humanity in his time and in all times. What does that mean? We are playing with words here. Because when you say the word teacher, you mean I can listen to you, I can understand what you say, but I am not obligated to follow you. I am not obligated. I don't have to do what you tell me to do. The job of the any given teacher in any given institution of learning, what is his job? To provide you with the knowledge. But he cannot enforce you. He cannot make you apply it. And here is where it comes into value. So Musa is a good man? Definite. Should I obey him? Let us talk about it. When we come to this Messiah, peace be upon him, what happened with him? The people, they went from one extreme to another. From a complete denial, and wal'iyadhu billah accusing his mother, to giving him a semi-holiness or a complete full holiness. So we jump it from one extreme to another. Should we obey or we should not obey? That's another story also. When in the Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him in the Holy Quran. You will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj, he is saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وادعو إلى ربك إنك لعلى هدى مستقيم. يا محمد, you have the permission to call on God. Nobody gonna come and say, where are you telling us this from? Who told you to say this? You have the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إنك لعلى هدى مستقيم. And we know the word huda, what it means. Huda, it means well-defined path can help you to reach a certain destination or to accomplish your goal. You have a very well-defined way to do things, and it is very clear you have a huda. Mustaqim, that means it is not crooked. That means it is the most efficient. So you're not only having a way to do it, but you have the best way of doing it. The best way of doing it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also described him in Surah Al-Qalam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You have the best human manners and ethics. To be honest with you, I'm going to tell you this. It was one of the things that boggled my mind for so long. Why that much emphasis in Islam about the ethics, about the akhlaq? Why it was that much emphasis? When you study, there is a whole complete fiqh for it. Everywhere you go, there is in the Quran, right there, which is more important. But alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, you will find out akhlaq is having two major dimensions. Number one, it is the best genuine measure to your belief, to your own belief. It doesn't matter how you think about yourself. Your akhlaq showing the level of your belief. And inshallah, one day inshallah, it will be a khutbah about that. The second major, akhlaq is the one of the most effective ways of making da'wah. To be successful in da'wah, you don't have to be a scholar, but you have to have a good manners. The most successful campaign in Islam to spread Islam was done by akhlaq. All the area of the Far East, Malaysia, Indonesia, China, India, what it called now Pakistan, and on and on and on. How many soldiers went down there? Zero. Merchant went there, and their akhlaq. So please, all the time when you communicate with others, remember, good akhlaq is not something nice to do. Good akhlaq is a holy mission to do. Because by your akhlaq, you are making da'wah. You are making da'wah. And I'm going to give you a quick living example, made me say alhamdulillah. Two of my colleagues, they were talking about, they are trying to do some kind of legal work. And one said, no, I'm going to go to my lawyer, and his name is, I think, Abdul something. And he said, I have a very good lawyer. He said, no, I am going to my lawyer. He is honest. You know why? He's a Muslim. I said, Allahu Akbar. May Allah bless that lawyer. That lawyer, by his behavior, he didn't open one single word about Islam to those people. But he made a da'wah better than 10 scholars sitting down 24/7. So al-akhlaq is extremely important. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to Muhammad, you have the best akhlaq. That means you are qualified, the best qualified to do the da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe him as the role model. Role model for humanity. I think now we all agreed. We have a common understanding. It is not important how you feel about yourself. It is not important how you see yourself. What is the most important is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see you. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala evaluates you. It's not important how you see yourself. I think we all agree to that now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying about Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةً حَسَنَةً لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. I send you in Muhammad a role model. A role model. Role model that I am pleased with. That I am pleased with. All you need to do to be from Ahl al-Zikr and among the people that I accept, do what he does. That's the importance of Sunnah. That is the importance of the Sunnah. Sayyidina Muhammad is not with us now. But Sayyidina Muhammad is still with us. It depends on you. You are the one who is going to decide if Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam died or not. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam can be alive and can be dead. We know physically that he is dead. In Medina he is dead. And his grave is there. But you can make him by the grace of Allah alive, by reviving, living his sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it mandatory. In case of Sayyidina Musa, I said the people said may not. But in case of Islam, for the Muslim, Allah order us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Muhammad said, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. You have to obey him in what he said and what he did. So the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad is very, very important in our life. And not only he ordered us to obey him, but also he sent it in Surah An-Nur. Severe warning against disobeying him or diverting or deviating from his sunnah. He said, وَلْيَحْذَرُ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let it be known, whomever will divert, be alert. Because you may be a subject of turbulent, subject of fitna, or you can be a subject of a severe punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But somebody going to ask, why? Why? Why this point? Listen to what is coming after that. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. And as long as he does not, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. الْهَوَى, that means his convenience, his conclusion, his understanding. That means he is يَنْطِق. يَنْطِق, that means speak out of pure iman. Out of pure iman. You and I, one of the two. Our behavior is one of the two. Either the motive, the power behind it, either iman, or the motive behind it, al-hawa. If the iman will be shrink, the hawa will take place. And where is the hawa will take you, al-azu billah? Completely right away. أأنت تهدي من اتبع من اتخذ إلهه هواه؟ يا محمد, you cannot guide the one who will follow his own. You see now the value? Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us the important وما ينطق عن الهوى, because his behavior is coming out of a pure iman. Not out of his own convenience or his own interest, but coming from iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his opinion a condition for his love. Who doesn't want Allah to love him? Who can reject, deny, and doesn't want to accept Allah's love? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Surah Ali Imran, قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. That means here what? Following Sayyidina Muhammad is the evidence for your love to Allah. So having the desire to follow him, that is evidence that you love Allah. Following him subjugates you to the love of Allah. When you take the action and you go along with what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing, you are subject to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love. And here it goes. Once you are subject to Allah love one time, there is no hate or anger anymore. There is no hate and there is no anger anymore. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya Rabbal Alameen. That the people, that Allah is pleased with them. Allah loved them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he loves somebody, he will never let him go astray. And if he doesn't let him go astray, he will never be angry with him, inshaAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him imam. Imam, that means a leader of promoting good and fighting evil, and a judge. And in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haqqa litahkuma bayna al-nas bima amaraka Allah. That means whatever Sayyidina Muhammad decree is not a subject of discussion. A lot of people, they think they are fancy, they are knowledgeable, they know what they are doing. And they say, we'll go with the Quran and the Sunnah, maybe, maybe not. Believe me, when you think a little bit, you are not fair to your own self. Because everything in the Quran commanding you and ordering you to go back and obey Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obeying him is not optional. But now, what is the sunnah? A sunnah is the behavior of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the value of it? And what is its component? What it is consist of? Okay. The sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam represent the best human implementation to the teaching of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sended the legislation, the Sharia in Quran. And he sended the practical guide, the human guide for it, in Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah. And what does this sunnah consist of? Consists of four major areas. Consists of what Sayyidina Muhammad said. And what Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And what Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accept. That means things happen in front of him and he accepted. Or something that Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam rejected. Rejected, that means what? It happened in front of him and he said no. That's not right. Let us stop doing that. We are not going to do that. That's automatically will be subjugated to his sunnah. Now, what is your obligation and mine to this sunnah? Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is very important. See, here in Surah Ali Umran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mighty and out of His mercy and out of His generosity, He sent the messenger. And that messenger to do what? To purify you, to teach you the wisdom, and to teach you the purpose of your creation and how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the value. So the value of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what? The practical user guide. Look at it this way. Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, the practical user guide. That means you will never find any solution or any answer to your question better than what you're going to find in the Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad. Why am I saying that? Muhammad ibn Abdullah was a man like you. He was a father like you. He has a family like you. And he faced all of those problems. He was a leader, maybe like you, maybe not. He was a religious man, maybe like you trying to be or not. Sayyidina Muhammad is not talking to you or speaking to you from here and you are here. But Sayyidina Muhammad was with you on the street. And part of his message, I can do it, you can too. And even the things in the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he filtered, like Salatul Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan, that he filtered, it may come to be mandatory, he stopped it. Because he doesn't want to put burden in his ummah. And he rotated days in that. So that's the first obligation, hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hold on to the sunnah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the name when you hear you say alayhi salatu wa salam. No, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a name of a user guide. A name of a user guide. The second, you have to respect and to believe in it. You have to believe that the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is your user guide. Is when you apply it, you fulfill the fruit, you get the fruit, Allah will be pleased with you. You never doubt it. Like the statement that I said now, for some people like to take the Quran and leave the sunnah. No, that's disrespect to the sunnah. Once you think there is an alternative better than the behavior of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can lead you to have Allah pleased with you, you are committing a major problem. you are committing disservice to yourself and to whomever والعياذ بالله will listen to you. And I don't want to make the khutbah any longer, but in this area we have a dal and we have a mudil. A dal is the one who went astray, but the mudil is the one who led the effort for himself and for others والعياذ بالله to go astray. So you have to respect the sunnah. You have to respect the sunnah and to hold on to it. You have to respect what's in it. And you have to respect the seerah. And you have to respect Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And try to live according to his way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. المرء مع من أحب يوم القيامة. You will be among the people that you love in the day of judgment. If now you love سيدنا محمد, you have سيدنا محمد in your home as a life sunnah. You know سيدنا محمد سيرة. You know his behavior. You know his reaction. Hope inshallah you will be among his companion in the day of judgment. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Quran and the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life. So we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and in the hereafter we'll be in peace, and inshallah we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله, وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. Now we want to go very quickly to answer the question, should we sell? Now we need to answer the question, should we celebrate? And what is the meaning of celebration? I attended, وَلَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, and may Allah forgive me because I didn't know. I attended some celebration in different community, and that was the first and the last. They celebrated by the first day of Sayyidina Muhammad by making very big cake with the candles, and they got everybody and happy birthday Rasulullah, astaghfirullah al-azim, and that's their perspective of celebrating. No, the celebration or not celebration will come from the goal and come from the commitment. But celebration for celebration, we have a lot more problem to worry about than answering that question. Once you said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you said I am the custodian. I am the Allah. I am the one among what you created who gonna carry it out. Gonna make sure that it will supersede. That I will give it the best that I know how by your help to make it up. That's what it means. With that perspective, that means when I say the custodian, that means you are the one who is going to implement it. And you are the one who will propagate it. And you are the one who will defend on it. You want to see how far, I'm not criticizing anybody. You want to see how bad and how far and how low and how weak we reach it down? You have the Denmark caricatures coming up insulting Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what happened? Couple commotion and everybody happy. Is that defending? Is that propagating? Because if there is a propagation, there is no need for defending. Islam doesn't need the lawyers. Islam do not need lawyers. All you need to do, deliver it as is and leave it alone. You don't have to do a cell job for it. Hearts know how to receive it. And once you said, I am the custodian, that means I am the delivery man to this one. I am the one who will do it. Not as a community, as individual first. If the community will do with me, alhamdulillah. If not, I'm on my way. I'm not stopping. If remembering the day of Sayyidina Muhammad, Paris Day, you will get your family, you will get your friends to make it, and you have some cook, and you remember the value of Sayyidina Muhammad, and in that day, you will come up with a work plan. Work plan, you and the whole people that you invited, you say, is today going to be a starting point, and next year, if Allah give us the life, we will accomplish this, 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 this. We have the work plan. I'm going to say ala barakatillah. Because now you turn it, the event of Paris of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to milestone to revive the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, and to live you and your family and your community in accordance. But if you want to look at it as one more Paris day that you celebrate, and you have the cake and you have the hats and you have the decoration, I'm going to say ittaqillah. 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 And have the fear of Allah in your heart. That's not what Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is all about. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Do you know what that means? One of the things that inshallah, maybe one day it will be explained, to the difference in the messengers and what make Muhammad unique, is the nature of message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sended Musa, he said what? اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Have a certain mission. Unique mission. What is your mission? اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى and liberate the Bani Israel. When you come to the Masih ibn Maryam alayhi salam, what his mission? He said what? I haven't been sent but to the lost sheep of house of Israel. My mission is not the humanity. My mission is not the Jewish people. My mission is only the lost sheep of house of Israel. House of Israel, the lost sheep in the house of Israel, this is my mission. That's what I'm here for. But when it comes to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And what does the word rahma mean? What is the key here? The key word, the magic word, is the word rahma. And what does the word rahma means? Preventing the harm before it happened. That's the word rahma mean. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That means, Ya Muhammad, we sended you to prevent the harm to the alameen before it happened. That means, Ya Muhammad, whomever will follow you, inshallah, will be saved from the harm in this life and after. وَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. اللهم اجعلنا منهم يا رب العالمين. Let us seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guidance and blessing, and thank Allah for sending Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our life, and we are committing ourselves. Inshallah, we realize we are the custodian of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We are responsible for carrying the message of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and propagated and protected. So Ya Allah, we seek your help. We seek your guidance. And we promise, Ya Allah, we will do the best that we can to revive this sunnah and to apply him in our life. آمين يا رب العالمين. عباد الله قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.